Cord. Hello, everyone. I'm Leslie Cornwell, certified nurse midwife with Empowering Midwifery Education and Midwifery Business Consultation. I have Tanya here with me. She is a new instructor on the EME team, and she also has an amazing midwife business. So today's interview, we're going to talk about her passion and how she turned her passion in midwifery into a business. So now she gets to make money on her own terms. And I always want to stress, like, because sometimes we even feel the guilt of like, well, I'm not making tons of money yet. And it's like, I don't care. I don't, you're in the early stages, the green part. Sometimes people are embarrassed. Well, it's not a successful business yet. And I'm like, we have to reinforce what are the stages of entrepreneurship. You don't have money rolling left and right when you start a business. 5 to 7 years from now, you're going to be in a very different trajectory than the average midwife. But those are things we'll chat about. So, Tanya, tell them a high level who you are, and then we'll just kind of talk about your business.
Yeah, sure. I'm Tanya Tringali. I am a certified nurse midwife. I have been a midwife since 2007. And I, let's see, what year are we in now? 2022. So in 2017, I created my LLC, knowing where I was headed. And then in 2018, I actually really got moving on getting it, much more up and running. So over the year of 2017, not only did I start the LLC, I built the website, I got my business checking account, like I did all the like logistical things, so that in 2018 I could really hit the ground running, which I did. And my business started out as being very focused on fitness in the perinatal period, helping people navigate pregnancy and remain active, but also helping people recover postpartum, especially when they had things like significant diastasis recti or pelvic organ prolapse, stress urinary incontinence, things like that. Things that take a lot of energy to navigate if you want to get active or stay active, right? So it was kind of focused on that, but very, very quickly, what evolved out of that for me was a broader base of what was missing for postpartum people. And so, really, I started developing something that I call comprehensive postpartum care, which I can tell you much more about. But then from there, it morphed into preconception care because everything that I was doing up until that point, it all just kind of came really clear to me that this isn't about a particular phase of life, it's about the whole thing. And for right now, just to keep a focus on an audience, I still say it's about the perinatal period, but I definitely work with people who aren't even thinking about children or they're past it or whatever the case may be. I think people who are best served right now by me are somewhere in the spectrum, typically from preconception care through to postpartum care. And those people in the fitness industry who work with pregnant and postpartum people really like to say postpartum is forever. And I think we all can agree with that, but especially when we're talking about the way in which our body might feel
Oh,
postpartum
the
is
changes
forever.
that happen there forever. You got the mama hips and the mama jeans and the, yeah, your body just changes and some things you can get back, but some things you
Right.
can't.
And so people will say, well, can I still work with you? I have a grown-up child. I'm like, of course. It's all the same. If you've not addressed these things and you have questions and concerns and issues, we can do it. Totally.
Yeah, you've had urinary incontinence and prolapse. It doesn't matter if your baby is 20 years ago. Like, these are weak things that people are not addressing in our current healthcare system.
And largely because the trickle down of information is so slow. And also, this happens to be an area that's kind of riddled with myths and misconceptions, right? So that's really what I spend a lot of time on. The other piece about my business, though, is that it's kind of got two wings, right? There's the piece where I am working with clients one-on-one, and then there's the piece where I'm working with businesses and doing more consulting style work. So I'm working with a group of midwives at a hospital right now to try to incorporate fitness into their work. And so that's really working with the group and figure out how we're going to implement that. It's still really in its early stages. And sometimes I do other things that are completely unrelated, but it's under the wing that I kind of think of as the consulting side of my business. So sometimes I do legal consulting, and right now I'm, for the first time ever, I'm one of the editors on a midwifery textbook. Well, it's not just midwifery, but it's, pregnancy and postpartum related stuff. So I'm kind of getting to flex all kinds of muscles, and every day I get to do something new, and I think that's really been the most exciting part of this is that even though it's early and even though you're right, I'm still not at a place where I'm totally self-sustaining financially, I'm getting to do so many cool things and I'm learning something new every single day. And that has been so great. And it's so great to be my own boss.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's the biggest thing I stress to midwives is, it's scary to think about being an entrepreneur. It's scary to think about being a business owner because we're not taught that. You typically don't have a mentor in your community. You learn hard knocks and then we wonder why 90% of the businesses fail in 5 years. It has nothing to do with the business idea. It's the learning curve that you're trying to go through. But when you're passionate about something, you can, like I do it all the time. I mean, I didn't make any money from my consulting services the first 3.5 years. Initially, it was my healing recovery of my trauma. And then it morphed into something more. And then I took all these wonderful tools and tactics I learned. I was like, midwives don't know this. They don't know this. They don't know this. We'd have so many more businesses if they knew this, this, and this. But until you go down that rabbit hole or you have life hit you in the face, you're just comfortable. You're like, you know what? I'll stay at this job and I'll start a business later. I'll start a business later. And I challenge people, start little side hustles, start small, start. Because you don't know what opportunities, like you and I chat about how amazing, you never know what your business will bring to you. You could change. You could say, you know what, I'm going to take a break for a month, or I'm going to take this project, or I'm not going to take that project. Your business is your timeline. Once you become a business owner, it's very difficult to work for somebody else because you can choose your vacation. You can choose your working hours. You can choose how you want your life to go and how you serve people to that full extent.
Absolutely. Like right now, I'm actually doing some locum tenens work, a small amount each month. And it's lovely kind of reminding myself that I still have my skills and keeping myself sane by not losing my skills, but it doesn't have to be my whole life. And it's been wonderful. The opportunities I've had to travel, to be with family at various times right now, I've needed that. It's given me so much flexibility and I'm so grateful that I did it, even though every day I flex a new muscle and it hurts a little bit.
Yeah. You're like, oh, that lactic acid built up. But yes, then it's easier each time. Yes.
The other thing that I did, I don't know if you ever did this or how many other people you talk to have done this, but I went through a startup accelerator. And that was like the best thing I could do because I did.
Was it like an SBA program or what? What is the...
No, it was in New Orleans, and it's called Propeller. It's a really cool program, and they have a strong social justice component to what they do, and they teach you so much so fast, but you have like your own unique mentor. Then there's all the group coaching sessions and everybody's learning the same content, but then there's plenty of breakout time for you and your mentor. And they pair you with somebody who has expertise in your area. So they paired me with somebody who knows the medical side of starting a business. And I learned a lot and that really grew my confidence kind of rapidly. So there are lots of options out there for people to get in a short period of time, a lot of information about entrepreneurship. So.
Yeah. So what is the name of your company? If they want to look at your website, your resources, reach out to you. Tani, what does that look like?
Yeah. So my website is, and my company name is Mother Wit Maternity and Consulting Services, but I never say all of that. It's just Mother Wit most of the time is what we just call it. But the website is motherwitmaternity.com. So yeah, you can check out my services on my website. I do have a resources page. I also have a podcast. So my podcast is really geared towards having conversations that healthcare consumers and healthcare providers can both feel really engaged in. I think we really need to be kind of hearing each other about what's frustrating about both sides of the equation so that we can envision all these fun, different things that I'm
think outside the box and actually problem solve together versus, and I think that's the interesting part when you run your own business, you can be more guard down to your clients because if you work somewhere, sometimes you can be too honest and then you get in trouble later because you weren't supposed to tell them all those broken things or issues or problems. So I think sometimes there's always that hesitancy of I'm supposed to act a certain way when you're working for someone else versus your own business. You can decide your mission, your policies, your protocols, how you're going to serve people, how much time you're going to spend. So you have a huge advantage of serving midwifery on whatever capacity on your terms.
Totally.
Cool. Well, are you doing much in person right now, or is it mostly online with your clients? Because I know you shifted with COVID, but did you like it so much and you just stayed that way?
Honestly, it's all online at this point. So, the main way I provide care is not the right word because it's definitely much more of a coaching capacity that I'm in because I'm working with people all over the place. But what I do is it's a subscription model. So people subscribe, and what that gets them is a session with me every 2 weeks, just on an ongoing basis, as long as they're renewing their subscription. And then that means they can also text me every day. Sometimes we use voice memos instead. Sometimes we use Marco Polo. Like, I'm open to whatever. We have shared Google Docs where we keep each other accountable. So sometimes I'm giving people access to information, like resources, research studies sometimes, depending on how much they want to know. And, again, this is the way it works, whether you are kind of in the early stages of planning a pregnancy and trying to optimize health for that pregnancy, or you need support through the pregnancy. Oftentimes, I work with people who are working with an obstetrician instead of a midwife. They want that midwife feel, but they don't have it in their area, or they hadn't learned enough to decide that. One of the interesting things is watching my people come around for a second baby and go get a midwife the next time. And that feels like such a
Yeah.
big win, and
So
I've
you're
really been doing
advocating,
that.
yeah, even though you're not directly doing their care, you're advocating for midwifery access to them.
Absolutely. And a lot of what I'm doing is really filling the gap. So I think the 6 week postpartum visit is such a clear example, right? It's like there's hours of conversation that someone deserves to have that should be part of that visit, but there's no way it could be, and nor should it realistically be. It should be an ongoing discussion. And so for me, with my clients, that discussion starts as long as they're in a mental space where they can handle it. 4 or 5 weeks postpartum, we're starting to talk about all the things that we wish happened in a 6 week postpartum visit, but don't. And then we continue to unpack that through to about 8 weeks. And again, it's not my timeline. I have a generic timeline of everything I want to cover with people in great depth, but I meet them where they are. And so if we're having really intense mental health challenges, we might not get to that content,
Yeah,
right?
the
Like,
Maslow hierarchy of need. I'm like, I want you to exercise, even though you have su suicidal ideation. Like, okay, yeah. So you have huge advantages with your midwifery, how you can talk to people, how you can assess them, how you can add so much that an average trainer, life coach may not be able to add to the team and the services. And I talked to so many cool midwives across the country. They do like virtual doula. They like even prenatally, there's quite a few that have set up contracts with local offices that their clients will because they're like, I can't do all this education, I can't do all this stuff. So they'll fill in the gaps of those 5, 10 minute prenatal visits with doing side by side this virtual midwife coach. Like, it's just so cool what's being created.
That is absolutely what's happening. So I actually am, whether my clients even know it's happening or not, I'm looking for the gaps in their care and making sure they're aware of it. So just like easy examples, I have a detailed intake, and I might pick up on the fact that somebody, when I ask them if they got their Tdap shot, do they even know what Tdap is? Did they get it? Right? Like, whatever. It's all those little things. And so I have this big intake, and then we sit down for that first session and we go through everything. And before you know, they've been sent away with a checklist of little things that maybe didn't happen that were supposed to happen, things that they thought they understood that they didn't understand. They're more prepared to go in and have that conversation. A lot of people start care with me towards the end of pregnancy when everything's been going swimmingly, but now all of a sudden that baby's just looking awfully big and someone's talking about induction. So now we're like changing gears and working on self-advocacy while we prepare for postpartum while we're still pregnant. So it's kind of like a mixed bag in terms of like what needs to be accomplished when and where based on this person's unique situation. So
So,
it's
well,
been great.
I'm excited. I love what you're doing and keep fighting the fight for women and midwives w across the country.
Thank you.